This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. One of the critical issues facing this country today is the cost of health care. It has spiraled out of control and threatens to bankrupt the country. Although the Affordable Care Act brought insurance to a lot of people who didn't have it before, Obamacare did not address the cost of health care. There are responsible consumers who are willing to try to control their own health care costs by shopping around when necessary, but they have found that health care costs are difficult to figure out and vary widely from provider to provider. If you ask your doctor the price of a medicine or a procedure, chances are he or she will not know. If you are insured, the price a hospital charges you will be different from that for someone who is not insured. In fact, what your insurance company is billed by a hospital for services might be different from what another insurance company is billed. I have to say, this all sounds a little crazy. In a book called Overcoming Obamacare, in which author Philip Klein offers some conservative alternatives, he writes, a person could land in any city in America and quickly research the best restaurants in her price range by consulting an effectively unlimited number of resources. The same is true for purchasing a new smartphone or even an oven or lawnmower or any of a number of consumer items. But it's about as easy to find a three-legged ballerina as to get comparable information about price and outcomes from local doctors and hospitals. Well, no matter your political viewpoint, that is not an exaggeration. And that quote came to my attention through one of our guests this hour, Ann Dawes Helms, who after years on the school beat has become the Charlotte Observer's healthcare reporter. She joins us for the hour to talk about all of this. Welcome back.
Thanks.
Good to see you. We're also joined by Dr. Andrew Muller, Senior Vice President for Physician Services at Novant Health. Good morning to you.
Oh, good morning. Glad to be here.
It'll be nice to have you. And Dr. Roger Ray is also back with us. He is the Executive Vice President and Chief Physician Executive at Carolina's healthcare system. Thank you for joining us.
Good to be back, Mike.
Now, we're going to be talking through much of the show about particularly Blue Cross Blue Shield because of a piece of information which they now make available, which is cost calculations, and we asked repeatedly for a representative from Blue Cross and Blue Shield to be with us today, and they could not make anyone available. But I want to make sure that people know we asked them to join us. I want to begin with what should be a really easy question, which I know will take the entire hour to answer. Why is it so difficult to find out what things cost? Why don't doctors know what procedures cost? Why doesn't one price fit all? I don't know who wants to take that.
Yeah, you know, there are so many complexities in healthcare, and that I think it is a little bit unlike a lot of other industries. And at the same time, I think it creates tremendous frustration in the public who simply want to understand, what am I getting for the dollars that I'm spending, and how do I anticipate what that's going to cost me ahead of time so I can plan? So many times when I talk with my physician colleagues around the cost of healthcare, I try to remind them that we do something different that no other industry does. So imagine deciding, for example, you need to go to New York City. And so you want to take an airline to New York City. So you hop on the airline, you fly to New York City, and then 8 weeks later, you get a bill from the airline for your time on the plane. And then 9 weeks later, you get a bill from the pilot for their services. And then 12 weeks later, you might get a bill from the mechanic or whoever put fuel in the plane, and you don't really understand what it cost you until the trip was long gone. And that's really what our patients experience when they utilize healthcare.
Here's my favorite question.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the tremendous complexity, and some of that is in terms of the services we deliver in healthcare, which are really unlike the services delivered in many other industries. And the second component of it is there's a whole lot of regulation that we have to abide by in terms of our billing practices, which complicate things. So even the most complicated, sophisticated restaurant, mm-hmm. as an example, the reporter mentioned, you know, it may have 70 items on the menu, and they're fairly discreet. You know, you're going to measure out how much pasta you're going to give per serving. You know exactly how much, you know, the chicken breasts are going to cost. But in healthcare, even the same thing in a different environment can be completely involved and complicated. So you can have somebody who has a knee injury that needs to be operated on in an ambulatory surgery center under a very different cost structure, and you may have somebody who also has the same type of procedure performed for a life-threatening infection in a hospital, And the amount of time, energy, effort, the amount of resources required are vastly different, but on the surface they look the same.
Dr. Ray.
Well, I think there are issues both of complexity, both on the what am I paying and on the what am I paying for side of it. And in many industries, you know ahead of time what the thought is about what you would pay and how you would pay it and also what you would be paying for. And in our industry, for several reasons, there are complexities on both sides of that. On what you pay, the question might come up, what would you pay if you are of a certain age, if you have a certain carrier, where you are in the deductible for this year, and that used to be a trivial thing, but now deductibles may be thousands and thousands of dollars. Do you have assistance of some sort available to you? So what you would be charged or what you would likely pay in itself is a complex thing. And then what are you getting for what you're paying is equally complex. For instance, if what you're paying for is a surgery, and one method of surgery is done by a nationally acclaimed surgeon, let's say, and your return to work is much quicker than it might be with some other surgeon, or you can avoid some complications, or your rehabilitation is much quicker, you can avoid a readmission, all of a sudden the cost of all of that is really not all that related to the price that you were charged for the surgery. And so what we're struggling with, all of us, I think, is to get our hands around the total cost of care, the patient's participation in that cost, and who they pay what when, and that involves as much as premium on the front end, as well as paying bills as they come through. Happily, I think we're beginning to have those conversations. We're beginning to have patients say to doctors, to advanced clinical practitioners and others, look, I'm newly sensitive about the cost and the price of all this. Can we have a conversation about that for a minute? We have helplines. We have assistants. We have navigators. We have lots of folks devoted to the task of trying to sort these things out. But I think the reality is some of it is difficult to predict on the front end, particularly in emergent circumstances.
A friend of mine had a procedure done at one of your two hospitals. We won't say which one. The two hospitals here are Novant and CMC. And the doctor asked to see the bill for this procedure. And the doctor said, you know, I could have flown you to Sarasota, Florida, and had this procedure done there at a facility not unlike where you went for a lot less money, and you could have spent the weekend, had dinner, spent a hotel, and flown back for what you paid for this procedure. How can that be?
Yeah, I don't know, because, again, you'd really have to understand the specific circumstances. But the reality is that we've got to become more aware of what our patients are experiencing. I think that we recognize that the conversation that has been prompted, I think really since there's been a national debate around healthcare with the Affordable Care Act and all that led up to that, that we've got to become both more affordable and we've got to become more transparent with some of the costs that we offer.
Some of the times I think it's attention to what a bill might typically show, just give you one artifact of it all, is the charge. Well, the fact is nobody paid the charge. That's a relic from an old approach to interactions between hospitals and doctors and insurance companies, quite frankly. And although it sort of has to be there, it's irrelevant because nobody pays it anymore.
Right, let's be clear. Let's just because a lot of people who are listening may not know anything about this because they haven't had this experience.
Right, sure.
So you go in for procedure X, and your insurance company is going to pay for most of this depending on your deductible. But you get a bill from the hospital, and the hospital bill is, say, let's just say for sake of argument, it's $5,000.
Sure.
The insurance company will pay $3,800 of that $5,000. So you and your hospital and the insurance company have agreed, although we charge $5,000 for this, you will only pay us $3,800 and we'll settle for that. Now, what the consumer pays depends on the deductible he has left and whether he pays a copay or whether he pays X percent of what's remaining after the thing is settled. But if I'm not insured and I get that same bill and it's going to say $5,000, I don't know that I can negotiate that down. I don't know that it has been negotiated down. I don't know that Blue Cross may pay you $3,800 while Aetna may pay you $2,700, and you'll take the $2,700 because that's what you've agreed on. This seems to be Byzantine and tipped in the favor of insurance companies and not consumers.
Well, actually, and there may be some negotiating. I actually had surgery several years ago.
You have to know you can do it.
Well, and that was the thing. I called and said, what are my payment options? Because I had a fairly high deductible and owed, you know, a significant amount of money. And they said, well, by the way, if you pay it all up front, we'll give you a 20% discount. And so I got that discount. But had I not called, had I just written the check, I'd have paid them 20% more and – you know, I'm guessing they were not taking a loss. You feel like you've been dropped in the middle of a Middle Eastern bazaar,
and
you're just as lost as you would be there.
And it seems to me that the people who have to make these decisions are in the worst moments of their life, not thinking clearly, perhaps in pain and not able to think clearly, have nobody else to advocate for them. They don't know that they can negotiate it down, so they're liable to pay the full freight. Why, if you're willing to settle for less, is the full freight what it is?
Well, I think some of that is a little bit more how it used to be than how it is. Because I think just in the last 2 years, the financial counseling that goes on during, let's say, a hospitalization, which is the thing you raised, is extensive, and discounts are available of various sorts for someone who happened to not have a payer source to all patients, and extreme discounts are available to those who are really in need. Important to remember, our system alone last year provided care for which we were not paid at all to the tune of about $400 million on those who theoretically at least could pay but didn't. Bad debt is how we would refer to it, $300 million. So in many circumstances, the reality is the payment was zero, regardless of what the charges were, regardless of what the contracted rates were. What was actually paid was zero, and it is true that all of that is factored in. But as it relates to having someone hanging and not supported by those who are interested in giving them the very latest ways that we help them both navigate and assist them from a payment point of view, there's a lot of assistance available. Even in this sign-up period right now, we have counselors hired to help people navigate the process of signing up for healthcare.gov, which is open right now, continues until February 15th. We take extreme measures. Why? Because the anxiety related to all of that for our patients helps nothing as it relates to helping getting them through their condition.
But why is there – everything has a price, and you have to make money or you can't stay in business because you have to keep the lights on. You got to buy incredibly expensive equipment and drugs and things like – I understand all of that. But why – isn't there a cost? I mean, if you go buy a car, there's some haggle room, there's some wiggle room in there, but you pretty much know whether you can afford a Mercedes or you have to buy a Chevrolet. You know that. In healthcare, you're not really in a position to make that. If you need a heart transplant, you need a heart transplant, not a liver transplant, not an appendectomy. So why isn't there a set cost that everybody pays the same? Why should Blue Cross pay one rate, Aetna pay another, and me as a consumer, who maybe is not as good a negotiator or doesn't have the numbers of behind them like Blue Cross does, why should I pay a different scale? And I have 20 seconds.
Well, I'm not so sure that it's not the case in other industries too. So, for example, if I have as a consumer go and purchase an airline ticket.
Right, let me stop you because we don't have time to – you come back on the other side and answer that question because you don't have time to give it justice. We're coming right back. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Bragg Financial Advisors, supporting a celebration for Catawba Lands Conservancy on February 19th, Gardens and Green Space, at the Southern Spring Home and Garden Show. Details at catawbalands.org. Well, news consumers, that would be you and me, might conclude that we live in a scary world with lots to fear. Ebola, terrorism, vaccinations, plane crashes, even gluten. Well, experts say that fear is a natural part of life, but sometimes we're a bit misguided. What we fear, things like random violence or having our computer hacked, is not what we should be talking about or thinking about or even fearing. We should be worried more about texting while driving and the flu. Our fears, reality versus perception, tomorrow at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, with more people returning to the workforce, automakers are seeing a boom in car sales. But there's growing concern about a surge in auto loans to buyers with weak credit. The risks of subprime auto loans.
Join the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the cost of health care, its opacity and its transparency, the attempt to make it transparent, with Andos Helms, health care reporter with the Charlotte Observer, Dr. Roger Ray, executive VP in charge of executive vice president and chief physician executive for Carolina's healthcare system, and Dr. Andrew Muller, senior vice president of physician services for Novant Health. And prior to the break, I asked why there just isn't one price for everything. Why does everybody pay a different price? And you were in the middle of trying to answer that when we went to the break, Dr.
Yeah,
Miller.
Mike, and I think, you know, it's often that way in a lot of other aspects of life. And so back to the airline example again, I can go to the airline website and find that it's going to cost me different prices to travel to a different city at a different time or through different connections, even though I'm getting up.
And depending on what day of the week or what time of the day you buy the ticket.
Yeah, I buy the ticket, or if I buy it 1 week before or later, or if I'm savvy enough, I may go to a discount travel website that will effectively negotiate on my behalf for the airline ticket price, or if my employer is purchasing the ticket for me to travel on business, they may have an arrangement with a travel agency that buys airline tickets in bulk at a discount that I would not be able to necessarily be able to purchase on my own. And I think that's the way it is in really a lot of things, even going to dinner at the restaurant. If I've purchased a coupon book, or if I'm part of a dining group, or if I'm part of something else, I'm probably going to pay a slightly different price than I am. Gas stations offer a cash discount over credit cards.
But I think
in healthcare it gets magnified.
But if you know you have to take a certain cancer treatment or you have to have a certain surgery, can you walk in the door of either of your hospitals and sit down with people and find out to the penny what it's going to cost?
Yes and no.
Before you do it.
Yes and no. So for certain procedures you certainly can. Things that are discreet. So there are some procedures that are very discreet. So we're going to replace your knee and you have really no other medical complications, whatever. But it becomes much more difficult if you have cancer and, oh, by the way, you have kidney failure and, oh, by the way, we can't predict the fact that you may develop an infection along the course of that treatment. And so in the current environment in which we are effectively paid for everything we do to patients, it is difficult to anticipate what that's going to be. In a world in which ultimately we may all take risk on the health of patients, then it'll be our responsibility to try to distribute that risk across a bigger population, much like the insurance companies do, and therefore amortize that risk, which would give us a better indication of what it would be on average for a patient.
And that's why, except for the discrete thing, I need a chest x-ray, I need it somewhere this week, that's all I need, and I can be confident that's all I need. For a duration of a treatment, really cost and payment tracks quality, because in the long run, was it a quality experience? Did I get pneumonia associated with it? Did I have a fall associated with it? How did my rehab go? How quickly did I get back to work? All of that factors into the overall cost. And so from a health system's point of view, we believe that getting rapidly to the highest quality is, in fact, money back to you, because that's where the lower cost at the end of the day will be. And focusing on the price, while it's not irrelevant, it certainly isn't the top consideration, particularly when it's a complex issue we're talking about, or it's a severe illness.
I think your friend's example raises an interesting point, and who can you trust to help you figure this out?
Right.
You know, I heard that story, and I thought, so this doctor evidently knew what the costs were in Florida, and at least strongly suspected that it was a lot more here where he or she was doing that surgery. Why did the doctor not guide the patient? Because I think most of us lack the medical knowledge, and as you said, we're maybe in a very scary point in our lives and we're in pain and we don't even know the right questions to ask. I think that's a big question for all of us. If the doctor has one point of view and the healthcare system has another and the insurance company has another.
And it may have not been very long ago where there was a business discussion going on in one hand and there was a physician or medical discussion going on in another. I'm here, we're here because physician leaders now exist at all levels of the organization and all domains of the organization. And we're just as interested in anybody at being able to provide care so efficiently that we can actually charge less and still make a go of it, knowing all the while that more than half of the patients that we see today, we saw 11 million last year, more than half of the patients we see today will not, what we get in payment for that, it will not cover the cost of what we did.
Does quality equate to price or vice versa?
Not directly and not simply in healthcare. However, I agree with Dr. Ray's earlier comments that that they do tend to follow each other hand in hand. And I think there are opportunities to create greater cost efficiency and effectiveness across a bigger population than if you look at an individual patient. So I know Dr. Ray's organization, our organization, are working very diligently to figure out how we can continue to deliver the highest quality of care that we possibly can while continuing to take costs out of the system.
I'll give you an example of that. For the last 3 years, we've been participating with Medicare, CMS, nationally in a focused effort to reduce costs, particularly cost that's related to complication and harm. For our hospitals just in the greater Charlotte metro area, we reduced cost to Medicare by $48 million over that three-year period of time. It didn't change a charge a bit, yet Medicare didn't have to pay for things that became unnecessary because from a quality perspective, we avoided it. So pursuing cost improvement and improvement in total cost of care and what payers pay and what patients pay is important, but by the nature of it, it may or may not show up in a price.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, Blue Cross Blue Shield, who I repeat, we asked to be on this program and they could not provide anybody, put up on their website a calculator so you could compare costs for specific procedures from different providers scattered around North Carolina. And they published this whole list of prices, and they vary widely. I will share with some of them with you in a minute or two. And Ann, you wrote that after that came out, executives at Carolina's healthcare system and Novant Health were pondering why Blue Cross Blue Shield pays $53,000 more for kidney transplants at Duke Hospital than it does at Carolina's Medical Center, to use one example. So are you saying that hospitals did not know that these prices varied widely, these levels of reimbursement, rather, varied widely from hospital to hospital? Are you guys setting
You've got the direct sources here that can answer that, but my sense is that that is exactly correct, that Novant does not know what CMC has negotiated with Blue Cross and vice versa.
And we're precluded from knowing for each other for antitrust.
Well, now you do know because you can go on the Blue Cross website. So why would they do that?
Well, it's a little bit misleading because you don't know specifically. And so we've negotiated with all the different insurers over thousands and thousands of thousands and thousands of discrete and individual services that we provide. And so I'm sure there are differences among all of those.
Well, I got on there.
But at the end of the day, too, the Blue Cross tool is actually not completely new. It's been out there for a few years for Blue Cross members. It's only just recently been released to the general public so everyone has access to it. And it does demonstrate what Blue Cross receives in payment for certain discrete services. But as we've talked about before, it's really difficult for many conditions to be broken down into a single discrete episode or into even a handful of discrete episodes, depending on the complexity of care that's being delivered. I think it provides some direction for patients, and it helps them make informed decisions around some aspects of their care. And I think it provides some insight to help guide patients in making better decisions around the cost of their care. So, for example, if you look at the Blue Cross tool, you begin to recognize that if I have knee arthroscopy in a hospital setting, then it's going to be more expensive than if I have it in an outpatient surgery center. And so it helps provide, I think, some guidance for patients to make decisions around the location of their care, which can influence
Is that surgery safe in an outpatient surgery center?
Depending on the degree of surgery and what's involved in the surgery, it frequently can be.
And why is it more expensive in a hospital?
Well, in the hospital setting, it's often associated with more intensive care around the patient. And so,
is that intensive care required?
Well, sometimes it is.
So if you're in an outpatient setting and you can't get that intensive care, what happens?
Well, the difference is, for example, I may need to have my knee surgically examined because I injured it on the tennis court.
Okay.
And so for that reason, I'm otherwise healthy and I'm absolutely fine to go to an ambulatory surgery center to have it examined and potentially repaired. However, if I'm in the intensive care unit in a hospital and I'm deathly ill with an infection and it's believed that maybe one of the sources of that infection is an infected joint, mm-hmm. then, of course, it wouldn't make sense to do that in an outpatient setting. That needs to be done in a safe and monitored environment. Now, in keeping with that theme, when you're performing procedures and other services in an inpatient setting, there are tremendously increased costs associated with that care, from everything from the construction of the building, which often by regulation and also just from the need to provide the services is far more expensive than it is in an outpatient setting, all the way up through the staff that's involved in caring for the patient, the nurses, the doctors, all of that's involved in taking care of those patients that's not required in an outpatient.
I think everybody recognizes that when we can, it helps everybody to move what we might have thought of as intense inpatient care into the outpatient setting. I said earlier we saw about 11 million patients last year net, and only about 10% of those were in a hospital. Mm-hmm. So we are constantly looking for opportunities to move the care closer to the patient, move the care to a setting that's more appropriate than is necessary. And everybody recognizes that providing the same thing in a hospital versus out is very different. It's a 24/7 operation. It's got severity, et cetera.
And both CMC and Novant mm-hmm. run these outpatient settings, correct?
Absolutely.
So since it's the same organization, although it may be in a doctor's office on Randolph Road as opposed to Novant's principal hospital at the foot of Elizabeth Avenue or the main hospital at CMC, why does it cost less? It's the same organization.
Well, part of it is actually the complexity of the environment, as Dr. Mueller mentioned. Part of it is, as currently defined anyway, these episodes, quite frankly, don't make a lot of sense as we're trying to make our way through the tool and understand it. And what I'm concerned is happening is something like we're trying to compare a CAT scan that you would get electively as an outpatient on a Thursday afternoon with a CAT scan that you would get because you were in the emergency room probably on your way to surgery, right? And no one would think that those are actually very comparable, or that a straightforward surgery, knee replacement, let's say, happens in a fairly healthy 48-year-old person on a purely elective basis versus a 45-year-old person who's had a heart attack, has heart failure, has brittle diabetes and lung disease, and needed three specialists to consult on them around the time of the surgery. You look at the realities of those episodes, and no one is going to think that's going to cost the same. So all of these systems that are looking at data are trying to make it so that we can compare apples to apples, but we know they're not. On that tool, I've got just one example. Two partners who practice together. We know they not only practice together but charge the same and work the same, essentially, because they cover for each other, who show up in the tool is significantly different cost. Why would that be? It's difficult. I do think the tool is useful, principally right now for, again, being a stimulus to the conversation, to call us or talk to the doctor or the doctor's staff to say, I am sensitive, maybe newly sensitive, to trying to understand and predict what this cost and my piece of it may be, can you help me with that?
Yeah, I spoke with Dr. Dan Murray, who is a spinal surgeon and CEO of a large orthopedic practice, and about this same thing. And he said he has questions about this too. And in practice or procedures that are done inpatient and outpatient, the costs are listed with the surgeon's name. And for instance, knee arthroscopy, I looked up several doctors, around $4,000 at Charlotte Surgery Center, around $10,000 at both Novant and CMC facilities. Well, he said, first of all, that doesn't mean the surgeon is getting the $4,000 or the $10,000. That is the everything that goes into it, the surgeon and the anesthesia and the facility. But he did say it's good for the patient to know that because sometimes it's about scheduling. So if I'm that healthy patient having a knee arthroscopy, no complicating factors, it may just be that the closest opportunity or the closest appointment is at a hospital. And I may end up paying that $5,000 extra just because that was scheduling convenience. Whereas if I know to ask, then the hospital and the doctor and everybody can kind of work on getting that lower cost.
Well, let's compare apples to apples here. I think I'm comparing apples to apples. Blue Cross Blue Shield, who we invited on the program and declined, calls this calculator on their website the treatment cost calculator. What I believe it really is what they've agreed to reimburse the hospitals and the doctors, et cetera, for the care. So this is a particular procedure. It's the identical procedure. Under the Blue Options package of insurance that they provide at Blue Cross, they will pay Novant $17,929 for this procedure. For the same procedure, they will pay Carolina's Medical Center $41,058. How do you explain the difference? Is that what it costs? Is that the difference in cost between the two hospitals? Or is that what they've agreed to pay? And why is there a 50%, 100%, I can't do the percentages. Why is it so much more expensive at CMC?
Can't imagine why it would be, quite frankly. I mean, at the base of it, it would seem to say that they've agreed to that difference. Why would they have? Did they, in fact? That's why I say there's some pieces where you glimpse it and you understand how medicine is done and what the data looks like, that you just can't imagine that that's a reflection of what is.
I mean, in the paper and accompanying chart, in the newspaper and accompanying chart to your column, show that the low price that Blue Cross Blue Shield will pay for a colonoscopy is $808 in a doctor's office in Raleigh, an outpatient situation, $8,000 at a hospital here. And they went to Blue Cross payment to two nearby hospitals ranged from just over $20,000 to just over $40,000.
Well, I think in my mind, the bigger way to look at this, and this is where I think that consumers are still a little bit disadvantaged, is the insurance company can aggregate the cost and attribute it to members who are cared for in doctor's offices, hospitals, wherever, and overall can say that for the average patient, we pay this much per month for their care. And that's a much better way to estimate really how costs are being looked at and who's cost effective in a marketplace.
When Blue Cross published this, they not only let hospitals know what they were paying other hospitals, they let other insurance companies know what they were paying all these hospitals. Why, since they're not here, Ann, why would they do that?
Why
would they let the cat out of the bag?
They've got to figure that this will play some role in, they would say, in bringing down costs and helping the consumer. One might reasonably say also in their negotiations that if you are at the high end of that, and my colleague John Murawski at the News and Observer is working on a story to run soon in which he's looking more at that, sort of the pressure to shame providers that are at the high end of that, sort of create some public pressure. If you end up at the high end of this, it's going to be in the newspaper. It's going to be out there. People are going to be asking you why. And they are going at this pretty aggressively. They also, Blue Cross nationally, has recently released a study looking at the range, again, in hip and knee replacements in different cities and saying, you know, in some cities the variation is not that big. In other cities it's pretty big. The Charlotte market is one of those where they are saying there's quite a range across providers of what we're paying. And the question that these guys are asking is, well, since you agreed to these, you know, why is this? It is data that, as so often is the case, raises as many questions as it answers. But I think they must figure that having the public in on this is to their advantage.
But one piece that I would add to that.
Let me stop you. You can add to it after the break. We have to take a break, Dr. Ray, and we'll come back and let you add to that piece. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Historic South End, featuring a reading of the critically acclaimed play Carrie Ann's Kiss Friday and Saturday. Details at historicsouthend.com. With more people returning to the workforce, automakers are seeing a boom in car sales, but there's a growing concern about a surge in auto loans to buyers with weak credit. Exactly what happened before the recession. The risks of subprime auto loans, the topic of the conversation in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock on The Diane Rehm Show. If you'd like to join our conversation, now would be a good time. You can email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org or search for WFAE on Facebook or Twitter, and we are coming right back.
Chiquita has announced it's closing its headquarters in Uptown Charlotte less than 3 years after moving from Cincinnati.
That's just one of the stories you heard on Morning Edition. Every day we have reporters in the field and newsmakers in the studio to put the news in context. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Marshall Terry. We were there for you when the Chiquita news broke and have been following it ever since.
Join us tomorrow for Morning Edition from NPR News.
From 5 to 9 on 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the Byzantine cost of healthcare today with Ann Dodds Helms, who's written about it frequently as a healthcare reporter in the Charlotte Observer, Dr. Andrew Muller, Senior Vice President of Physician Services for Novant Health, and Dr. Roger Ray, Executive Vice President, Chief Physician Executive at Carolina's Healthcare System. We were talking about this Blue Cross Blue Shield cost calculator a second ago and the wide variation in price, and you wanted to come in here and say something about that, Dr. Ray.
Sure, thanks. I was just going to mention that we're doing lots of different things to try to get the overall cost of what patients pay down. A piece of that is the premium. And so we have partnered with payers, particularly Blue Cross Blue Shield, but others as well, in creating products for the exchange that are premium efficient on the very low end. And I don't think we would be able to come together with them to do that if, in fact, the costs were way out of whack, as the tool would sort of imply. And so they know us to be cost-efficient enough to partner with them to get very competitive products for those who are signing up through the national exchanges or others out there. And so there's just a piece of this that we have to be very careful about drawing conclusions.
Hospitals have said that the prices that they charge, and I think you've said to this, reflect their volume of uncompensated care. Give me the figure that you wrote off last year.
The total community benefit was $1.5 billion, but it was $400 million in care we didn't get paid for.
What about Novant?
In 2013, we were about $560 million in community benefit, and in terms of direct write-off, not for the price of care, but the cost of care that we actually delivered, it was in the $120-some million range.
So a lot of that, your costs have to reflect recouping some of those losses, it seems to me. So if a procedure costs radically more at one hospital than it does at another, does that mean that other hospital is the more expensive hospital is trying to recoup more of the cost that they lost because they lost more money?
I think, you know, Mike, to be honest with you, I think we're kind of in some ways focusing a little bit on the wrong thing.
Okay.
Because what we're focusing on is ultimately it's a conversation around pricing,
mm-hmm.
and it's a conversation around the negotiations for one particular procedure. So in the bigger scheme of things, when we really think about the overall cost of care that we deliver, even the cost of care for a pool of insurance beneficiaries, even down to one individual, ideally the cost of care is reduced if you don't have the surgery to begin with. And so ideally what you really want to do is look at what it is to provide care for an individual over a period of time or for a population over a period of time. That's a much, much, much more effective way to really assess how cost-effective care is than focusing on an individual price for an individual procedure, which out of context of the overall care of a patient may or may not make sense.
But it does have to factor into it, obviously. The amount of community benefit, the amount of free care, the amount of subsidized care, the amount of mission-related work to support the communities that we serve has to play into it. And a number of services that we choose to provide because the communities want and need it, an example would be a level one trauma center, you know, are poorly paid,
mm-hmm.
you know we're not going to cover the costs there, and to overall stay afloat, it has to be a factor. We try to make it as little of a factor as possible. But that $1.5 billion in support to the community and maintain worthiness to sustain is a real challenge, and that's why hospitals are struggling.
If hospitals are struggling and you're losing $1 billion a year on free care, why during the healthcare debate didn't healthcare providers and hospitals actively advocate for a single-payer system that would cover everybody in the country so they wouldn't have to have free care?
Well, I think one of the things we advocated for, which quite frankly in the first wave that we've been through of change and regulation and legislation was the upside for health systems like ours was the spread of Medicaid. And in North and South Carolina, we didn't get it. And that was the one benefit for all the cuts, for all the changes, for all the restrictions, for all the new subsidies. The one upside was, well, more people are at least going to be covered by something, even if it's a relatively low payer. And as you know, for lots of different reasons in North and South Carolina. We did not expand Medicaid. Those patients remain uninsured today. We work with them in lots of different ways to try to subsidize their care.
The hospital lobby has to be a major part of a healthcare lobby, which is enormous. And according to people who've researched the how the Affordable Care Act was put together, among them Stephen Brill, who's written a book about it and interviewed on 60 Minutes by Leslie Stahl, he says essentially that the Obama administration was told, if your objective here is to cut costs, it ain't going to happen. See, it's not going to pass, so just forget about it, because the healthcare lobby won't let you pass that. But if you're going to help insurance companies, if you're going to help doctors, if you're going to help hospitals, if you're going to help pharmaceutical companies, we can make that happen, and that's what's happened.
Yeah, I think it's far more complicated than that, and I'm not a lobbyist for the healthcare industry, and I don't talk with lobbyists for the healthcare industry, so I'm not exactly sure what those conversations were.
But surely your company is involved.
It is, and we supported the position of the American Hospital Association, which was to support the passage of the Affordable Care Act, with an understanding that there would be pretty significant cuts to reimbursements to hospitals and other healthcare providers. From the federal government for those patients insured by the federal government. And part of that would be made up by some of those losses we've made up by, as Dr. Ray reported, by expansion of Medicaid. So effectively, many of those patients we care for today who'd have no means of caring for themselves and who, if they're 300% or less below the federal poverty line, our system provides gives them no bill. For those patients, they would have new avenues for care through Medicaid, which we haven't seen materialize in the four states in which our system operates. The fundamental problem that we have in healthcare in general is that we've created a system in which we get paid to do things to patients. We don't get paid to keep patients healthy. And the challenge with the Affordable Care Act is it doesn't necessarily reverse that condition.
You wrote about one particular practice that is changing the way, at least in one procedure at Ortho Carolina, and how they're changing one procedure and how they deal with that to see if this new model will work more effectively. Talk about that.
Well, and I should point out that Karen Garlow actually wrote about that. And I'm not the healthcare reporter. I'm one of them. And yes, it's the bundled payments in which instead of, you know, getting that crazy bill that we've all seen where, you know, you're charged for every bit of gauze and every pair of scissors and everything, there is a payment for the procedure. And that way, if for whatever reason things don't go well and I have to come back and I have to be readmitted, the practice and the hospital don't necessarily benefit from that. They are paid for doing the procedure, and the more efficiently they can do that and get me healthy and get me back to work, the more beneficial it is financially.
That includes the follow-up. It includes the physical therapy.
And just like Dr. Ray's organization, our organization is also entering into bundled arrangements with payers and with the government.
And what that does, as I understand it from reading Karen's column, is that it incentivizes everybody, the patient, the doctors, the facility that provides the care, to get the patient well as quickly as possible.
That's exactly right.
Because it's one price.
Right.
And you negotiate the price at the top of the procedure, not afterwards.
That's exactly right. Now, it's not coincidental that it's an orthopedics practice that is doing this initially. And why? Well, because orthopedics is fairly discreet. So it's a fairly discreet episode to say you were going to replace a knee. That's one specific procedure, and barring significant complications that can sometimes be identified beforehand or sometimes occur during the procedure, it's fairly easy to understand what the cost of that episode is, but it becomes much more complicated for conditions beyond something like just replacing a knee.
But bundling is a tool. It's a good tool. I think it's a bit of a transitional tool to payment changes that would be more permanent. We've done bundling for more than a decade related to some of our complex quaternary care like transplants and that sort of thing. So it is a good tool of unifying around what can become hopefully pretty predictable. But I want to just make sure we highlight there are decisions to be made early in the process of care which have substantial cost ramifications that we want to make sure patients are fully capable and supported in making. I'll give you an example.
Yeah,
tonight,
instance.
You have a fever. It's 2:00 in the morning, and you're trying. You know you need something, and the question is, what do you need? In the past, that was all on you, and you may or may not make the right decision about what you need. And by the way, there's wild variation in the cost of the choices you might make. So you might go to the level one trauma center. You might go to a freestanding ED. You may go to an urgent care. You may go to a retail clinic. Now you may be examined in your living room virtually by our organization. And so to just first call and say, hey, I got a problem, the price variation, the cost variation across that is extreme. You may pay thousands for the ED visit. You may pay $49 for one of them. Let's help you make the decision that is right for you is a more powerful influence on the cost of care than the price with little negotiations around pieces of that.
You wrote that Blue Cross told you they put these numbers online, this cost calculator online, and because consumers are literally begging them for this information. And what you're saying is I guess people are now more aware because insurance has – the nature of insurance has changed. Not only is it not being provided necessarily by your employer, you're now paying the premiums, and even with your employer, deductibles have risen. So people are really concerned about what they're
out of pocket. I think that is one of the most transformative things that's going on is this shift to large out-of-pocket costs. And the Affordable Care Act puts a limit on it, but that limit is $6,600 for an individual and $13,200 for a family plan. That's a lot of money for almost anybody. So
I mean, that can be a life-changing sum for
right. And one take on that is that we have
insurance. Catastrophic insurance at that point.
And one take on that is that, as we've talked about a lot here, we have skin in the game, so we're making better choices. You know, another take on that is that you have people who may now have insurance, but effectively they don't. I may not be getting care if I have to pay $5,000-$10,000.
Having skin in the game is probably a good thing because I think people, when they didn't have skin in the game, went to the doctor for every sniffle, and it cost a lot of money that they never saw because they didn't pay any money. They paid maybe $5 or $10 copay. So skin in the game is a good thing, but if you're going to have skin in the game, you really have to know the sticker price.
You do. And so we understand very clearly that healthcare costs have to decrease and that we have to work toward becoming more transparent on our pricing. And everywhere we're getting the opportunity to do that, we are. So as Dr. Ray mentioned, our organization also has virtual opportunities for patients so they can do an e-visit for $40. We have retail clinics where we have the prices posted. So when you go in, you know exactly what the services we're going to provide are going to cost you. And those are limited services, so we can price those very easily and make the consumer aware when they walk in. Mm-hmm. And part of that is around trying to respond to the consumer demands in healthcare. And part of it is about trying to be transparent with our patients and giving them an opportunity to see certainty around what it is they're actually purchasing for their dollar and to make informed decisions.
But I've never experienced that. I've never had a chance to know what something's going to cost.
Then you need to visit one of our retail clinics because you can walk in and actually see posted what the prices are or know before you perform an electronic visit with your provider that it's going to cost you $40. So we're working hard to make that available to our patients.
We asked the question for people posting on Facebook and Twitter and email, do you have a question or even a horror story about the cost of healthcare? Doris emails, I had a procedure done at one of our big hospitals in Charlotte. After the procedure, I had pain and was given an aspirin. After weeks, I got a bill, and this one item was $45. Of course, I have health care, still had to pay a large amount out of pocket. At a local drugstore, I could have bought all the aspirin on the shelf for $45. That's not an isolated incident. That report of ridiculously priced aspirin or Tylenol crops up over and over and over in reportage about the cost of health care in hospitals. How do you justify that?
Well, I think it's like it's artifact related to your earlier discussion about looking at a bill. If the bill has charges related to it, they don't relate to anything. It's likely for most payers, quite frankly, that they don't pay anything related to what we charge. They pay one rate for the overall episode of care for the procedure a person might have had. And so no one is more anxious to remove all of the lampoonable stuff from their communications about charges or costs than we are because they serve nothing and they create anxieties that
how can you charge get in the way of care. Let's cut to the bottom line. How do you charge $45 for an aspirin?
I think the reality is we don't. I think if there's a charge listed, it's not what anybody paid.
Okay. Well, then why charge it? Why put it on the piece of paper? An insurance broker writes, I would appreciate you posing this question. Lately, we've seen a few cases whereby somebody who has no insurance goes in for a procedure and the charges they are billed are actually less than they would be if the same person had insurance. This happened to me. My doctor actually told me If you had been uninsured, it would have cost you less.
Well, and that may depend on what avenues are available for care for the patient. So as I mentioned before, our system will typically provide care for patients who can't qualify for other means of insurance, whether that's through the government or privately. And so in those cases, the patient won't be receiving a bill if they qualify for charity care under our policies. So there may be circumstances where that is true, but I think those circumstances are different. Now, what they may have been trying to imply, which is not necessarily how we perform our business, but if you happen to have a really high deductible and you happen to walk in for a limited procedure, let's say just a vaccine or an office visit, and you were going to pay cash where you can be offered discounts for those services, then in theory it may be different. But again, that would depend on the rules of the insurance.
You know, I think there's always a discussion of with healthcare is a sixth of the economy. If we have a severe healthcare issue this year for any of us, it will likely be the biggest thing that we encounter in the whole year. For many, many of our citizens who flat out have no ability to pay at all, do they have the ability to pay some, and are we constantly sensitive in trying to meet the needs of the community to give them a bill that they can participate in their care but won't overwhelm them? And so to the degree
– but there are still reports –
that's where the $1.5 billion comes from.
I have 20 seconds. There are still people who report being ruined, bankrupted by this. They cannot pay the bills. It's hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Well, and Ann has reported on the new dynamic of the yesterday uninsured – newly insured for whom that's the case, and we're all struggling with that.
Dr. Roger Ray with Carolina's Healthcare System, Dr. Andrew Muller with Novant Health, and Ann Doss-Helms, one of the healthcare reporters at the Charlotte Observer. Thank you all for the hour.